In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Yes, and as always, we are your B team.
Absolutely, because the A team was already taken.
They were booked.
They were booked.
Solid, right through.
Solid, you know. But hey, we're the almost as goods.
We are,
yeah.
And we're available.
Hey, and a lot.
Weddings.
Weddings.
Bar mitzvahs.
Yes, absolutely. Birthday parties.
Birthday parties, that's you
right.
Name it.
If your one-year-old is having a birthday party and you want the B team there, just give us a call.
Just give us a call. Drop us a line.
There you
Send
go.
Send us an email.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Listen, great to be back this week with you talking about comic books.
Yes.
Spreading the word, really. The gospel.
The
word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Testify.
We're here to maybe even convert.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to convert somebody?
Yeah, of course. You know, there's some guy, you can picture it, right?
Okay.
Guy's on lunch, and he's turning on the CBC or something. The guy's talking about plants. Right? So he's flipping around the radio station, and then, you and I are talking about testifying and converting.
And comics.
And we're talking comics.
Yeah.
And he's going to be glued, or she will be glued.
That's true. Yes, don't make a gender bias.
Yeah, not at all.
He or she.
Yes.
Or he, she's.
Yeah, we need all their money.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
And, by the end of it, they'll be writing us. They'll be emailing us, writing us
they'll
checks.
They'll be writing us checks for tens of dollars.
Easy.
Tens.
Chris, what are we here
for?
First
of all, we're going to talk about New This Week.
Yes, we are.
And I know you have a sponsor for New This Week.
Yes, the New This Week is brought to you by the B Team, whose leader, Mr. B, never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner. I don't know what it is about that line. I've been saying it lately. I love that line.
Never got
a dinner.
So what we're going to tell the people right now is to Google Red Buttons.
Yes.
Okay, Red Buttons, and you'll see those old roasts, the Dean Martin roasts. And you'll see Red Buttons' shtick on Never Got a Dinner.
Yeah, Never Got a Dinner.
And you know, hopefully you'll find it as funny as you and I find
I said it last week. I love that line.
Good. All right.
All right, let's talk comics here. So, of course, one of our weekly features is we talk about the New This Week, and let's talk about New This Week. So,
hey, that's a good idea.
First one I want to bring up is Justice League of America, number one. Wait, didn't we already have a number one?
No. Chris, you're not understanding correctly.
I'm really not.
Justice League, number one.
Oh, this is Justice League of America.
Yeah, there is a large
difference.
That
explains the lack of any popular character in this one.
Oh, really?
Well, let's see. Hold on. There's Green Lantern, but it's not Hal Jordan.
Mm.
There's Catwoman. She's kind of popular. Stargirl. Oh, Martian Manhunter. Hawkman.
Martian Manhunter.
Martian
He's
Manhunter.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah. He is back. He's back from Mars.
Marson?
Mars? I don't know. Stargirl
is in
it. Who is that? Katana's in it.
Zatanna?
No. Her sister, Katana.
Katana.
Yeah.
Katana.
Yeah. So a whole lot of people no one really cares about.
That's not true, because don't say
stuff
like
that.
Come on.
But really, like, okay.
You know, listen, it's
Other than Catwoman... Does anybody really care about? Okay, maybe, but it's not even it's not even Hal Jordan Green Lantern or even Guy Gardner. It's some other guy.
Yeah, there's
which really, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but basically, unless it's Hal Jordan or Guy Gardner or perhaps Kilowog, nobody really cares.
There's Hawkeye
or Hawkman.
Hawkman, sorry. Yeah. There's
See,
Hawkman.
See, even you don't care about.
Yeah,
them.
No, there's Hawkman in the background, and that's cool.
Yeah, okay.
But you got to give it a chance.
Okay, I know. It is written by Jeff Johns, who has done wonders for basically any book that he touches, right?
And listen, drawn by our Canadian boy, David Finch.
Yes, which is always good, yes.
Yeah, which is always good.
More importantly, this book, President's Day was 2 days ago on Monday in the States. And a very happy President's Day to all of our American listeners.
To all
listeners
of our
out there.
Listening ex-presidents. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Jeb. So this issue has how many different variant covers? Are they even considered variants?
We never researched this correctly. We both assumed that we knew exactly the amount, but then we were just before we went on air, we were starting to question it.
Right.
I believe it's 52. Okay. Now, I'm sure our EIC, Scott Vanderpool, will correct us quickly in the comments field. I believe it's 52. I believe it's all 50 states. I believe it's the U.S. flag, and I believe it's D.C., if that's possible. So there are 52 different covers to this comic book.
Yes. Hold on. Wait. And there's 52. There is 52.
Wait a minute. Did I just say that?
I'm verifying it for you, so it doesn't have to be verified via emails later on.
Right.
From our editor-in-chief here. There is 52 state...
Our commander-in-chief.
State variant covers for February's Justice League of America, number one.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming that there's one for every state, correct? But of course, there's also one for the actual
USA,
United States of America,
and I believe one for DC
as well as
Puerto Rico.
Well, so hold on. So 52 variant covers, one for each state, as well as Puerto Rico and Washington D.C.
Okay, right.
So that's what you're. That's
Oh, 52 variant covers. So the U.S. flag covers
is
like
the regular one.
Regular
so
one.
Actually,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So really, there's 53 covers.
Wow. So, I mean, from a I'm bringing this perspective from the comic retailer standpoint.
Right.
Okay. I remember. Excuse me, Chris. There was a whole bunch of dumbass solicitations on, get all 52, sell your customers all 52 for like a special price or something.
Right.
How many sets of all 52 do you get? And if you get like 8,000 of each 52 and you order like 230,000 of these, you get a price break. You get like 0.5% off
or regular price or something like that.
That's
good.
And it was like what are we thinking of? What are we doing here? Like, I don't know.
Have you ever bought 52... copies of anything as a new comic?
Ever.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, maybe Legends of the Dark Knight. I like that lime green one.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the neon blue.
No, lime green one was better. But the point is it really kind of backed retailers into a corner during the solicitation of this.
Yeah.
It was really, I don't know if it was a strong arm tactics by DC. I may not use that phrase, but it was like, oh man, it's like, okay.
So
I don't know how many retailers jumped into this because they thought they had to, which I didn't like.
Now, of course, I'm not trying to say anything. If DC is smart, and I'm not saying that they're not, they should take that same cover. And perhaps in a few months, they should have a Canadian version similar to that one for the Canadian flag for Canada Day so that it will appease all those Canadian customers up here in the Great White North.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because you know DC a bit more than I do.
Okay.
Are there Canadian origin characters in, like, the DCU that would be, like, to DC 52? You know how Marvel has, Wolverine, he's Canadian. Guardian, he's Canadian. Puck, he's Canadian.
That's a great question.
Squash. What's his name?
Sasquatch. Sam Squatch.
Yeah. He's Canadian.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, right?
I don't know if they do.
Where they name his nationality a prominent DC guy as a Canadian.
I don't think there's any prominent DC character that is actually Canadian.
Because
Other than, you could say Superman, right?
Fair, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, he's kind of
technically
an alien.
Technically an alien, but he was created by a Canadian.
But
they should, obviously, now, of course, this particular comic has the Justice League of America hoisting up the flag in homage to Iwo Jima.
Statue
of Iwo Jima. So, obviously, if they're going to do something like that for Canada, that really wouldn't work because...
No.
Right?
No. It would have to be like Paul Henderson's goal.
Yes, I love it.
Have Batman lifting his hands up while Robin is hugging him closely.
Exactly, right, exactly. I love it.
Well, yeah, anyway, so DC's Justice League of America number one coming out today. And if you know, if your local comic shop is worth its salt,
yes,
they'll have all 52 there.
How many did you guys order? 50?
Like 12. The northeastern states. Who the hell knows where Utah is? Come on. Maryland, please.
I'd like to get just Puerto Rico, please.
Do you have Rhode Island?
I'm looking for Rhode Island.
I'm looking for Rhode Island.
Do you got that?
Yeah. Yeah, just get on the freeway, pal. Keep driving. Listen, check Justice League of America number one at your local comic book
All
shop.
All right. Sounds
today.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, let's keep on plugging away here. Next up on the hit list, we've got Deadpool number 5. Now, Deadpool is, you know, it continues to amaze me how huge Deadpool as of a character he is. Like, I think it's like, I dare say Deadpool is like the 1970s, is like the 2010s version of the 1970s Spider-Man kind of thing.
Right.
He's a little quirky. He's a little odd, but obviously, I mean, you know, it's he pushes the boundaries a little bit, just like Spider-Man did in his comic back in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool certainly pushes the boundaries in this comic, and it's a little quirky and a little odd. And he's got that kind of, you know, jive talking patter to him, right? You know, I don't know.
He's kind of wow, kind of now, Deadpool.
Yeah, but. But there's like zombies in it, and there's, you know, there's a little bit of zombie gore to it, and there's like ghosts and kind of weird stuff going on in Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool is a super. Now, what do you know, Chris, what the status of the new Deadpool movie is? Is there a new Deadpool movie? There was talk of a Deadpool movie, and then it kind of ebbed.
Yeah, there's not much going on with that.
No.
Now, however, sometime soon there is going to be a brand new Deadpool video game coming out, and that has been. The actual release date has not been said yet. However, there's been all kinds of there's a commercial for it on the inside cover not a commercial but an ad.
Is that what they call it? An ad?
Yeah, an ad. Hey. There's no actual release date yet, but apparently it's looking pretty fun.
Right, Activision. Now, does Marvel have any games that aren't Capcom? You know, Capcom versus Marvel.
Yeah. Well,
do they have games? Is this one?
This
like,
would be one of them. Yeah,
this would be one
yeah,
of
they
them?
Do. But the better question would be: Do they have any games that aren't related to Capcom or Activision? But I think Activision pretty well has them all because Activision is the company that has done all the Spider-Man ones.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah. I think they're pretty locked in with the Marvel universe. So.
All right.
It should be good. It actually looks kind of fun. There's been lots of trailers on it. The website looks pretty cool, too.
All right, listen.
But Deadpool, you know, it's a wacky comic. It's got zombies and space and all kinds of weird stuff in it. It's looking pretty fun.
All right. Deadpool, number 5, hitting your local comic book shop today.
Now, I know we don't always talk about two different books from the same company, but today I want to talk about Indestructible Hulk number 4. It's such a good comic. I can't get over like the kind of cool stuff that they're doing with it. There's all like sea monsters and there's, you know, Bruce Banner is sort of like, you know, taking up disguises. He's putting on contact lenses and putting on like kind of like face paint type stuff or just masks to try to hide that he's the Hulk. And yeah. It's just kind of cool. It's a different take on it. I really like it a lot.
Awesome. So this is what? Indestructible Hulk number 5. I still, you know, it's that dumb old timer.
Yeah.
You know, I hate Indestructible Hulk.
I don't like calling you a dumb old timer.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll call myself a dumb old timer. Right. Give me the Indispensable Hulk, the old one.
Indispensable.
Yeah.
And
is it Incredible?
Incredible.
Okay, fair enough. Incredible. The Incredible old Hulk. And I don't know. But I guess at the end of the day, good stories matter, and you're telling me that this is a good story.
I'm telling you it is a good story.
All right, so check The Hulk out, number 4, at your local comic book shop. Today, Mark Waid is writing.
Now, as far as good stories go, I'm not too sure if this next comic fits the bill. However, I wanted to bring it up because it is...
Bring it.
It is a pretty interesting comic. So Spawn Comics, number 228. Now,
still going on,
Still
Spawn?
Going on. Still going on. Here's a guy that did get a dinner early on in his career.
Yeah.
Probably not getting one much now.
Right.
Not one much now. Me, talk good English.
That's okay.
I
understood.
So Spawn number 228, pays an homage to Action Comics number one. It's got Spawn, you know, crashing the he's crashing a car into, it looks like a building. You know what? It's a poor homage to Action Comics number one. Doesn't even have anybody, you know, screaming in fear like the original one did.
Yeah.
I look at the inside cover. I looked at the inside comic. The art is nothing like the cover. It's got this weird kind of moody type looking art, and Spawn looks to be barely even in it. I don't know if I want to say it's going downhill, but it's certainly not maintaining the status quo as to what Spawn used to be like.
Yeah, Chris, you're right. But you know what? It seems to me.
Seems
correct
to you.
Me from wrong.
Yeah. Okay. I will.
Yeah. That Spawn is just basically looking for curb appeal in a sense, cover
right.
appeal.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're scanning the archives for classic covers.
Yeah.
And then they're paying homage to them.
Yes.
On the thing. So,
yes.
You know, it's whatever, a classic cover from the 70s from Marvel this month, a classic cover from the 60s from DC this month, a classic cover from where,
you know,
1938 classic cover this month. It's like.
But it's not even, they're kind of well done, but not really. Like, it's a bit of an homage, but, like, it's not even a good homage.
Yeah, but, okay, I guess what I'm driving at is the lack of consistency on the covers.
Right. Or in the book.
I don't know. Like, I'm asking, and I know you don't read Spawn.
No.
I'm asking, does that equate to a lack of consistency in the book? Or is there solid continuity in the book that people have kind of latched onto,
right.
and they're just tolerating these covers? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's the other way around.
Right, so they're latching onto the covers because they're cool,
right.
and they're not liking the book.
I think if I was going to buy that book, I'd be doing it because of the Todd McFarlane cover.
Right.
Right. There was a while there that Todd McFarlane wasn't doing his own covers, and I think he probably realized, hey, in order to sell this book, I better start doing some covers because otherwise nobody's going to buy it.
I better get off my butt and start drawing.
Stop buying baseballs and start drawing some comics here. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that's Spawn number 228. Available at your local comic book shop. And, of course, these are just, you know, seven that you picked out of, you know, hundreds.
A small smattering of what's coming out today. All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude. And as usual, we like to start off with our musical interludes with a little of the old Krantz Spider-Man music.
Chris, you know, you close your eyes. You know where I was. I was at the Paramount Ballroom in 1938 with Fletcher Henderson playing, you know,
nice.
And it was just took me back.
Yeah, you know what?
I remember those days. Those were good days.
Yeah, how could you remember those days? You're not nearly old enough to remember 1938.
What were you saying?
Okay, old man. Anyways, you got to love the pardon me, the Krant Spider-Man songs, eh? That one, can't you just see Peter Parker trying to get it on with Mary Jane or with Gwen Stacy, you know, turning the lights down low. Here, baby, let me just put a little of this on.
And then Jameson pops his head in.
Yeah, Parker!
Parker!
That's right. Anyway. That's right.
All
right,
Chris, let's move it on to what we call industry news.
Yes.
And industry news is brought to you by... it's brought to you by Night of the Living Dead Live.
Oh, how about
catch
that?
Catch George R. Romero's... No, George A. Romero at the May 3rd and 4th shows in Toronto.
You know, George R. Romero, his Night of the Living
Dead
brother. It didn't go over nearly as well as his.
No, the show's at the...
had puppets and things like that.
It's at the Passe Murai Theater in Toronto. So that's coming
Passe
up.
Passe Murai.
I said that totally wrong. You know, if you Googled Night of the Living Dead Live... It'll have the flipping theater's name.
Fair
on
enough.
It.
Fair enough.
You know what? You know, like, okay, so I'm not from Quebec.
Hey, wee. Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about Diamond Comics.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about comics, baby.
All right. Let's talk about this kid named Chris Powell.
Yes. Okay.
He's a star of this kid.
Now
Chris.
I'm going to kind of hand this over to you because you are the comics retailer.
Yes.
You know a little bit more about this than I do because you deal with Diamond on a daily basis.
A little bit.
Chris Powell is a guy that also owned a store at one time.
He was GM.
Okay. Yeah. So take it over, Walt.
Well, this kid, Chris Powell, who helped build an empire down at Lone Star Comics in Texas, went on to do an online presence called mycomicshop.com, you know, a powerhouse online, Lone Star, a powerhouse brick-and-mortar store.
Yep.
The kid knew what he was doing.
Okay.
And a couple of years ago, Diamond hired him to be executive director of business development, and now they've promoted him to vice president of retail services.
Nice.
And I am telling you that that's great news for local comic book shops.
Right. Why?
Because this kid is on the ball. This kid understands a retailing of comic books. This kid has built a successful chain and a successful online presence for comic book retailing.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Now this kid is working for, you know, the comic
the
book
monopoly that
yeah,
is
distributor.
Diamond Comics. Yeah.
And he's been handed over reins of, you know, customer service and technical support basically for comic book shops.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty
so awesome. As comic book shops, any comic book shop guy listening, you know, this is you know, we can expect better things, and maybe we shouldn't just now sit back and expect better things.
Right.
Maybe we can all sit back and say, hey, you know what? This guy can maybe do something for us. What do we need?
Right.
You know?
So maybe this guy will host like an open forum with his,
sure,
with his retailers,
sure,
whereas maybe this might not have been done before. Because
maybe he'll host an open forum.
Right.
Because we'll ask him to.
Yes. Yes. You know? Very cool.
So maybe some of the drive will come from the comic book retailing community.
I like that. Right? I like that.
And maybe now we know we have a champion in our pocket, on our corner, so
right,
to speak.
Right. Right. You got the shoe in.
Yeah,
you know, stacking the deck.
Yeah, so this guy is, you know, we have to treat it, the comic book retailing community anyway, has to treat it as a positive development. Comic book fans.
It couldn't be a bad thing, right? Like, this can't turn out to be a bad thing for comic book retailers.
I don't, you know what? If it is, then it was squandered, right? And then it wasn't done correctly. I mean, again, the guy has credentials. The guy has proven himself, obviously, in the past,
and
continues to do so. Diamond, whose vested interest still is, Chris, in comic book retailing.
Right. You know, well, yeah.
have promoted him to, you know, lend a hand to comic book retailers, so to speak. So, again, I don't want to sound too, you know, this isn't the second coming, obviously.
No.
You know what I mean?
But it is
an opportunity for comic book retailers to... you know, kick it up a notch.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
So, good on him.
Good on him. Now, now, Walt, I know you've got some other things going on here, but I want to quickly talk to you about a couple of things that is not on our list of things to talk about.
Right.
The first thing is, we forgot about Trailer Trash. It's a segment.
Oh, that's right.
We do have a trailer trash segment.
And a trailer trash?
Trailer trash. Right. A trailer trash segment that should have actually gone before the rest of industry news.
We're out of touch. We're out of practice.
I know. We're out of practice. With trailer trash, we usually like to point out things that are happening in comic book movies that usually are nonsensical, but like sort of like a non-issue, right? Like,
yes.
And as such, yeah. Bryan Singer has released pictures of Professor Xavier's wheelchair from Days of Future Past.
Wait a minute. Like actual pictures?
Actual pictures of the wheelchair.
Of the wheelchair?
Of Days of Future Past. Nothing wow. else. There's no actors
what
in it.
What, did you hack somebody's computer to get this? this is big.
It's on that intranet.
That
thing.
Intranet.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty big news.
Wow.
Pretty big shoe.
The only thing that comes to mind there is when Costanza had to buy that mechanical wheelchair because he broke it.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
goes into his uncle's who sells wheelchairs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he pulls the used car salesman trick on him. He goes, "How about that model there? Are you kidding me? That model? I put Stephen Hawking in one of those last week."
Something like that.
So the wheelchair is now public.
It's now
you
public.
You think that Chris? I mean, you're an X-Men fan.
Yep. Yeah,
do you think that will diminish the movie now that it has leaked?
I don't think it's going to diminish it nor make it any better.
All right.
I don't think people are going to be clamoring around the internet saying, "Oh wow, really take a look at that wheel. Is that yeah. that's something? That's something
yeah.
that's really genius.
I want a poster of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, so hey, listen, I mean, what it is doing, powerhouse media outlets like this show.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Are covering this event.
Hey, it gave us another 5 minutes of something
of content.
That's right.
Right on a slow news week.
That's right.
So we're thankful.
Speaking of slow news week, I know that you when you go home at night and you like to plop yourself in front of the television.
Oh yeah.
Now what's the first thing you turn to? I know you're going to say, Cake Boss.
How'd you know?
Cake Boss. I know. Yeah. Because, you know, I know what you're like.
Okay.
You know, I know, hockey, forget it.
Forget it.
Sports in general or news, forget it.
Forget it.
No, not happening. Cake Boss.
What's her name? Bobo? Forget it.
Honey Boo Boo?
Honey Boo Boo? Forget it.
But I would love to watch a show called What's Her Name? Bobo.
Yeah.
So Cake Boss, now Walt, I obviously am being facetious. Cake Boss, I don't even know if you know what that is.
I don't know what Cake Boss is.
So basically Cake Boss.
Let me guess. That is a lady of the house.
Yeah, it's a show about the lady of the house. It's a show about a brothel.
Well, I mean, in the old slang, cakes were, never mind. Hey-o.
So, anyways, Cake Boss is a show about making cakes. This guy Buddy, he owns a cake store or a bakery. I think they're called bakeries these days.
Hey, Buddy! Wow.
Anyway, he's pretty famous. He has that show.
Buddy, nice cakes.
He has a show, The Next Great Baker. He's kind of popular,
kind
right?
Of, right.
He was commissioned by Marvel Comics to make a cake for Spidey's 50th anniversary.
Wow.
And this aired two nights ago on Monday night, he made the Spider-Man cake, basically. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now
I have to correct him.
Okay. Well, this is commissioned by Marvel, yeah, so you'd be correcting Marvel.
I have to correct Marvel,
as
too.
You should.
As I should. Of course, Amazing Spider-Man number one, March 1963, Chris,
right.
Which is a week away.
Okay, yes.
A week, 10 days away, is not the first appearance of Spider-Man. First appearance of Spider-Man is Amazing Fantasy number 52.
Right.
August 1962. Okay. Just call me Sheldon.
What did you say? What did you say? Amazing Spider-Man what?
Or Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Yeah.
August 1962.
What are our engineers saying that you said something different?
Sound like you said 52.
The new 52?
Yeah. Amazing Adult Fantasy.
Amazing Adult Fantasy.
Number 52.
XXX. Number 15. Anyway, I guess they're celebrating the launch of the Amazing Spider-Man title, which reached number 700 not too long ago.
Right.
Before Marvel pulled the flippin' plug on it.
You're not bitter, though.
No, I'm not bitter at all. No. Now they're celebrating it with the flippin' cake.
Well, that's what they like to do, though, right?
Right.
They like to pick and choose what they want to celebrate.
All right. And now, you know, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something. That Spidey 700 sold like hotcakes.
I'm sure it did.
Yes,
I'm sure
it did.
Now, if you had to choose another milestone of a comic book character to make a cake out of, what would you choose? Would it be like Batman or Superman?
Make a cake out of
Punisher. You could have like little bleeding people.
Yeah, you know, I
the graves.
Power Girl.
Power. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like her cupcakes.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. That's pound cake right there.
That's a lot of pound cake. All right.
So are we done that bit?
We are done.
Because that went way too long. If you ask me,
absolutely, we did.
All right. So
okay. GameStop.
Okay. Oh yeah, GameStop. Chris. So I wanted if I could stop talking, I could engage in a conversation with you.
Okay, right.
Now, you're one of those guys that likes to play games.
I do. I like to play games.
Yeah. GameStop.
I love Monopoly and Risk.
Yeah. GameStop is apparently a store, a chain in the United States. Do they have them in Canada?
Yeah, it's basically the same thing as EB Games.
Right. They're closing 250 outlets. Actually, they're going to net close about 180 or 190 outlets because they're opening up 50 or 60 new ones or
right.
whatever. So they're closing a mountain, a whole ton of these places where, you know, geek culture thrives.
Right.
You know? So,
right.
I don't know. Barnes & Noble announced that they're closing a third of their stores.
Right.
You know, it's all doom and gloom. I'm reading this article and people are saying, yeah, you know, it's like spelling doom and gloom. And I'm here to tell you, Chris, this is what I'm going to tell you about GameStop closing 250 stores, about Barnes & Noble, about Blockbuster closing
yes.
as well. This is an opportunity for comic book stores.
Oh, okay. How so?
You see, brick and mortar is needed. People need a place to go.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
What happens with these large national chains that have thin margins, like, you know, like they got massive overhead on these national
yeah.
chains and stuff like that, and they're always going to the high rent malls and all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah.
They're you know, living month to month.
Yeah,
and they're overextending themselves, and their executives are taking $1 trillion bonuses, and people that own the stocks want dividends and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They have no flexibility.
Right.
Unless growth is there all the time, they're basically lending off of growth.
Right. Okay.
That's the way
yep.
these things
yep.
work. So
yep.
if you have a bad year, they're done.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
Local comic book shops are proprietor-owned by nature.
Yep, yep.
They have flexibility. They can adapt and change quicker.
Yes.
They can ride out a bad year or two, generally
well, yes,
speaking.
Usually they can, yeah.
You know? Yep. And so now you have all these game shops closing. Now you have Barnes & Noble that's selling graphic novels closing. Now you have pop culture places closing. Guess what? That town's really good progressive comic shop is more and more a beacon for the geek culture to go to.
Absolutely.
It's like a little fortress of
yeah,
solitude. It's like
yep.
a place
yep.
where the corporate culture hasn't attacked yet.
Yes.
And hasn't, I don't know what the word
well,
I'm
I mean,
looking for is,
but
what
I mean,
I'm
like,
saying is this is an opportunity for these local comic shops to seize the
in.
Opportunity.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, now, you're absolutely right. Local comic book stores, and I think, you know what, maybe, you know, I dare say it, but I mean, why not even just local game stores? Why does it have to be a chain-style game store? It can just be a local guy that's buying and selling used and new video games.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. What I think.
Okay.
Lay
it on me.
Yeah, I think the local comic book shop has adapted over the last, say, 15 years into a multifaceted retail outlet.
Okay.
So if you look at progressive local comic book shops all around, they're selling t-shirts.
Yes.
They're selling mugs.
Yep.
Mugs.
Yep. Yep.
They're selling games, gaming. They're selling board games. They're selling
toys.
Tumblers for.
Yep.
They're
yep.
selling flipping, you know, ice where you
ice
know,
trays
ice trays
ice
that are shaped
trays.
Like Batman
yes
that kind of stuff. So what comic book shops have been doing is they've been diversifying for the last decade,
decade and a half. They had to.
Whereas game shops
have not per se. No, you're right.
Done that. Local comic book shops have that competitive advantage of already starting that process. So some of them already have
used video games
and as well. And this is kind of an opportunity to maybe expand that section of your store.
Right. Now, but what about like new video games? Because new video games, the price margin is very small.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't know. Like I'm saying, I don't know. I think each comic shop has to, you know, up it a little bit, prod, test the fences.
I mean, are they going to waste all that, you know, valuable shelf space and wall space
for a product that doesn't move. I guess, you know, like there's no guarantees in opportunities like this.
Right.
So the opportunity has presented itself for perhaps more customers to maybe be drawn to your store because their normal place where they go to get something is gone now.
Right.
So maybe a certain percentage of them will come here if you entice them with a certain amount of stuff. It may, you know how these things work at comic shops. I remember, Chris, I'm going to say maybe around 2000. I swear our shop had 30, 40, 45 graphic novels in the store.
Right, now we have
6,000 in one store, physically.
These things kind of just creep up on you and you morph.
So. So who knows where this is going to take them. I'm just saying when we read stuff like this, you know, the corporate structure of moving these things is not working like the way they wanted it to.
Right.
But, you know, smaller, more nimble, more agile, more reactive local comic book shops can seize an opportunity here of some sort.
Right. Now I think we should, I think there needs to be a little bit of clarification here about GameStop, by the way.
Okay.
GameStop is also the same company as EB Games.
Right.
Now, when it says it's closing 250 stores, I've been to many malls where there's multiple of the same store. Like, there's an EB Games and a GameStop in the same mall. So I think that the closing of the 250 stores is probably to an oversaturation in the same areas. And that's why they're opening up 60 to 70 new stores in other areas.
No, I mean, yeah, you may be right, Chris, but I don't think that's the whole picture. Like, the North American retail landscape is one of urban sprawl.
Right.
And so you're getting these new power centers coming up everywhere. And every major city across North America, there's new power centers opening up every year.
But
stuff like that.
I
so they have to put them there, right?
Right.
They have to, right?
Right.
And so, you know, for every one they're opening, they're closing four. And I don't think you can account all four of them.
There's over 6,000 of these stores.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, it's over 6,000, but 200 of them are closing.
Okay, fair enough. But right? I don't know. I don't think they're doing as badly as they're making themselves out to be. That's all I'm saying.
No. I mean, listen, geek culture hopes you're right.
Yes. Right? Yes, absolutely.
But I still say that if one of these stores is in your area and your local comic book shop and they are closing, there is a void that they can partially fill.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, let's take a quick musical interlude here for a little bit of the old Batman. Do you think you could get away with a theme song like that today?
Oh,
Batman.
That's quality.
Do you think really? Like, I mean, like, I don't think you could get away with like you know a theme song to anything these days. Like, could you imagine? Like, I don't know. Cake boss.
Honey boo boo.
NHL hockey playoff standoff.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways.
Anyway, no, I don't.
No, I don't think it would stand up.
Chris,
Speaking of standing up.
Yeah, let's speaking of standing up.
Yeah.
DC kind of is standing up to criticism that they were facing regarding signing up this Orson Scott Card guy to write some Adventures of Superman.
Now, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
So Orson Scott Card is the writer of Ender's Game, and apparently he has some pretty strong views about
marriage
and who should be getting married and who shouldn't.
Right.
So gay community got together and said, hey, you know what? We don't like this Orson Scott Card guy because he's trying to tell us what to do. So they wanted to start banning his books and telling DC that they shouldn't be hiring him.
So DC, in turn, told the Advocate website, as content creators, we steadfastly support freedom of expression. However, the personal views of individuals associated with DC Comics are just that, personal views and not those of the company itself.
Which I think is perfect, right?
Yeah.
When you buy a DVD and you watch the audio commentary by the director, it doesn't necessarily mean that his word is gospel. It says right at the beginning, hey, these are the views of their own personal beliefs. It does not reflect the views of the parent company.
That's right.
And that's exactly what DC is saying, and I have no problem with that.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you're getting in, and we won't spend too much time on this, Chris, but you're getting into a, what's the right phrase here?
Kettle of fish.
A can of worms?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're now going to dissect the personal views of anybody creating content in any medium, and then take a stance that you don't like it and thus tell the publisher or the producing company of that medium product, whatever.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Don't hire this guy.
Yeah.
I don't believe in his or her views on
Cake Boss.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Cake Boss.
On evolution or whatever. You know what I'm saying.
Oh. Yeah, he's a Darwinist? Oh, forget that.
Yeah, forget
that. We can't possibly hire him.
Darwin is so yesterday.
That's so yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good on DC. Bad on the, I guess, the gay and lesbian community for trying to dictate, not dictate, but I guess for being, what's the word? I guess, offended?
Yeah, well...
Should they be offended?
It's okay to be offended, but you know what?
Is it, though?
Well,
is it okay to be offended that some guy has a view that says, hey, you know, I don't know.
But they're
I don't agree with you guys.
They're basically telling DC to what's that word? They're saying that, you know, you should... I don't even know how to describe it. They're wanting to tell people how to run their lives, which is that's what the gay community has been fighting for this whole time, because they don't like the fact that people are telling them how to run their lives.
Right. Now I don't know. The thing I don't know, and maybe we're reserving judgment on this whole thing, I don't know the context in which Orson Scott Card said these things.
Right.
I don't know if he was asked an opinion and he said it, or I don't know if he's like searched a soapbox to try. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there could be maybe a degree of whatever. But
I think this is something that has been going on for a long time. I think it's something that he said for like a while ago, and it's just sort of stuck. And now that he's writing for Superman, people are now bringing his name up again. Right.
Listen.
I mean, nobody's bringing up the fact that, you know, hey, Ender's Game shouldn't be made into a movie because he has bad views on gay rights.
Right.
Right. So why aren't they saying that? Why aren't they saying chop off his head?
Yep. Well, fair enough. Listen, might have been the best thing that happened to him in terms of the Adventures of Superman in DC, because this is making national press.
It's funny how that happens, eh?
Yeah. Bad press is better than no press. That's
right.
That's what they say.
I wish we could get some bad press.
Yeah, we too. You know what, Chris? I'm going to slander you in some way next week. I won't tell you. All right?
Well, I'll be away, so I won't know.
Perfect.
There you go.
All right. Chris, let's move the show forward.
Okay.
Did we have a sponsor for this section?
Sure, we got 7 minutes left.
Okay.
No, we don't. We have 17 minutes left.
17 minutes. Oh,
17
my goodness.
Minutes.
This section of the show is brought to you by a Star Wars Episode 7, The Search for Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, you know what? I can't wait to pick at that. I don't like the way Jar Jar Binks runs his life.
You don't?
Yeah, you know, he's anti-Gungan. No, he is a Gungan. He is a Gungan. He's anti...
I have no idea what you're Greedo. Talking about.
He's there. Anti-Greedo people. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah. I hate those anti-Greedo people, guys. Because those Greedo people, they make good gumbo.
All right. So let's move on. You had something here about Anti-Heroes by Lee Hart.
Yeah, Lee Hart. So she writes for Comic Book Daily,
okay,
who podcasts the site that podcasts our wonderful show.
Right.
Right. The show that champions the local comic book shop. And the show that helps 93.3 CFMU win
all those awards.
Win all those awards
every year,
right.
Yeah,
so she wrote a thing called, she was at a comic book shop one day, and she noticed, hey, you know, look at the comic book racks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I love looking at racks.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Especially comic book racks.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she noticed that, hey, there are a lot of like anti-heroes.
Yes.
That are now kind of carrying titles and have captured the imagination of comic book fans.
Yep.
Right? And she quoted some of her favorites. And I wanted just you and I to talk a little bit about anti-heroes we go through this. She thought Spider Jerusalem, the guy on Transmetropolitan.
Yep, yep.
Yep. He's got those funky
ass
glasses.
He's got the funny glasses. Yeah. One's like blue and one's red. Yeah, yeah. But I like his haircut.
Oh, yeah. Catwoman.
I thought that was interesting, Catwoman, because she does, you know what? It's always one of those things where people seem to like characters that play by their own rules, right?
Yeah.
And Catwoman certainly does that, right? Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't really care about, you know, being a villain. She just wants jewels and, you know, to do what's right for herself. But then every once in a while, doing what's right for herself ends up doing what's right for everybody.
Right.
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 So,
yes. Catwoman is a great pick. The Punisher, who's probably like the archetype for
the anti-hero. He has got to be
the
epitome of the anti-hero.
The poster boy.
Absolutely. Because
for the anti-hero.
Well, he started out as being a villain.
Yes.
Right.
Spider-Man number 129.
That's right.
February 1974.
Oh, look at you. There's a reason why you're...
Sometimes I scare myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, but you know what? And then, see, he was still a bit of a villain, and then all of a sudden, he had that miniseries in like 1985-ish by Mike Zeck.
Yes.
Came out with a 5-issue miniseries. And that sort of catapulted his fame, right? I mean, he was popular before, but that sort of became a big one. Him fighting the Jigsaw and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, now he's like, you know, then he gets his own series. And, you know, he's had his own series ever since, basically.
Yeah, then after that was War Journal.
Yeah, it was War Journal.
Yeah, then he's been a fixture ever since. And then the movies came.
Yeah.
Right? Dolph Lundgren first.
And, yeah, there's been three Punisher movies, believe it or not.
Yeah,
I mean, the Dolph Lundgren one was probably the worst of all of them. But I think
what are you talking about?
I meant to say best.
I love the
Dolph
Lundgren.
Yeah, I meant to say best.
All right. Who else does she got? She got the Watchmen as kind of anti-heroes.
I don't know if they would be considered anti-hero, though. Would they? I mean, there's a couple of characters in the Watchmen that would be considered anti-hero.
Right,
like
maybe that's what she meant.
The comedian and Rorschach, maybe, or Rorschach, however you want to say it. But I don't know if, like, you know, I don't know if I'd call everybody an anti-hero.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Now, listen, it's Lay's article, not yours, okay?
I'm just saying.
All right. And John Constantine.
Yes.
The Hellblazer
series.
She thought him as, quoting her, he is one sexy badass.
Yeah. Did you ever see the John Constantine movie?
No, I didn't.
So the chain-smoking Brit with blonde hair, you know, kind of modeled after Sting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ended up being Keanu Reeves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right. So an American with dark hair.
Did he pull off the Brit accent?
No, he didn't even try.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he didn't even try.
That's too bad. Well, okay, so, you know, talking about this, I wanted to bring this up with you. And it's, you know, it's the move away. Like, no, there isn't a move away. That's wrong. Because obviously the capes, the tights are stronger than ever.
Yes.
Okay. But like going forward, I'm asking you: is there more room, or who has the brighter future, Chris? Is the anti-heroes, the realistic type heroes, the Punisher types, or the capes, the goody two shoes,
you know,
Boy Scout types?
That's a great question.
You know, going long term.
I think the goody two shoe capes still have the best interest. I mean, people always, I think there's an inherent need or want to see that the good guys always win.
Right.
But I think there's also a darker side to people that they like to see those grittier, darker people kind of end up doing well. Now, case in point.
Case in point.
Venom. Venom from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He was a villain for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then Marvel sees the popularity of the character, and instead of making him a villain. They try to make him
Willem
an anti-hero. And now instead of just being a bad guy, he becomes a guy where, hey, he just hates Peter Parker. He doesn't hate everybody.
Right.
You know? And so when he sees crimes being done, he goes, hey, that's not right. I'm going to go out and you know, catch the criminals and bring him to the police kind of thing. So I think
that's a sellout on Marvel's part.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a true anti-hero, but I think, but isn't that kind of what they did with the Punisher?
Yeah.
Right?
Sellout on Marvel's
sellout,
part.
Yeah. But it worked. It was done well done. And it wasn't, I don't think it was a blatant sellout. Right.
It was Wolverine a villain in Hulk 181? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. He was
kind of passing through.
Kind of passing through. He was still an agent. He was Weapon X, right? Yeah. So I think he was just sort of a test to see what would happen. And, you know, I don't know if he was a villain, but he was, I don't know. That's a great question. But he was kind of like a villain. I mean, the Hulk did have to fight him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I mean, that's just, I guess, an interesting
topic. What do you think?
You know what? I honestly think that the media, there's room for both. And that's a safe answer, I know, Chris. But there is room for both. I do think, though, that more realistic approach to the heroes, has a brighter future, I guess.
Right.
Right. I think what's going to happen, this is what I think. Hold on, let me get my train of thought before I lose it here.
Sorry.
I think what's going to happen here, and this is my prediction, is that the established colorful tights and capes characters are safe.
Right.
Okay. So let's say from, say, now going forward in the next 10 years, my prediction is that the good characters created from now till 2023,
right?
The majority of them are going to be the anti-hero realism type of stuff. I don't think people will be as tolerant of trying to introduce new goody two-shoe type characters.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Fair
so
enough.
You know, Superman and Spider-Man, because we know them and love them, we'll embrace them. They're
right.
safe, right? But if we, you know, Mothman, I don't know, it's already been done, but
I
if
love
we
Mothman.
Try to do a Mothman
yeah,
type
yeah.
of thing, B-Man or whatever,
yeah.
I think there'll be a resistance to it.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean?
But now, will there be, we've already seen some of this, where what about when the goody two-shoes, the capes, as you call them, end up crossing over into the realistic portion of those.
Well,
comics,
Iron Man did
right?
that well, right?
Yeah.
Iron Man did that better than anybody.
Yeah.
But it's because, I think, inherent in his costume, really.
But did, I mean, well, that, well, we did that. You're talking about the movie or in the comics?
Even the comics.
Because I think there's, I mean,
it's a technical
but anytime,
suit.
Anytime real life social issues get involved in comics, you've added that element of realism to it, right?
Yeah,
those are the ones that seem to stick in a lot of people's minds.
Fair enough, but these days, to convey the message through, you know, Superman with his cape, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but it might not be as poignant, I guess, as if it's delivered through some guy in a T-shirt. I don't know. I don't know if that sounds right.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, I mean, or will it be more poignant if it's Spider-Man saying it and not and as opposed to some guy in a T-shirt?
Ah, Chris, I don't know.
Will it be? You know, hey, will kids pay more attention to it? And it depends. Maybe it depends on the audience.
I think that the trick, where you're going there is the kids, and maybe I'm more skewing on, you know, guys like you and me.
Right. Okay.
So
I don't know.
It's interesting. I do honestly think, though, there's room for both, and there's room for tons of more, you know, anti-heroes, which are obviously very popular and stuff like that. And it's just somebody like usually these guys, these creations, they capture the imagination of the public at that time because they were written for that time.
Right.
So there's going to be new creations written for new times,
right.
And it's going to be exciting times.
Fair enough. Okay.
Okay. Chris, we got only a little bit more time. I wanted to touch on a couple more things.
Oh, okay.
Just pass the people. There is a Comic-Con coming up. The Comic-Con season is about to start.
It's about to start, yes.
Okay, so we're going to prepare everybody. Yeah. And I think what we did last year is what we'll do this year again, starting maybe when you come back from holiday.
Yeah.
We'll start to go over some Comic-Con tips.
Yes, now absolutely. Now, but people should know, now the first big convention in our area, which is the Hamilton Golden Horseshoe Greater Toronto area.
Yeah.
Is the first one, is that coming up in March or in May?
Yeah, March 9th, 10th.
So that's
two weeks away this weekend.
Yeah, so that's
not
very far away.
This is airing for Wednesday, so this is, this is like 2.5 weeks, basically.
Now, just because I'm going to be away next week and we're not going to have a show, and then all of a sudden it's going to be the con show.
Mm-hmm.
This one's in Toronto.
Yeah,
this
at the Metro Toronto Convention Center.
Okay.
I think if you go to hobbystar.com,
right.
You will get all the info. They got a great guest list. And come say hi to me, and hopefully you'll be there too.
Absolutely. Well, it depends on whether or not who I'm working for that day. We'll see if I'm working for any store or anything like that. But you know what? People should know that if they do want to go to this convention, hold on. They've got wait. This is
the
March
Star 9th, Trek 10th. Crew,
this
yeah.
is the Star Trek. Yeah. Yeah. So they got Brent Spiner, Gates McFadden, Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, LeVar Burton, like the list goes on. Michael Dorn, there's all Marina Sirtis, everybody basically from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Bring your phasers, but leave them on stun. So that's going to be a great show.
But you can also get Boba Fett's autograph.
Boba Fett's autograph?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And then, of course, after that, in the Southern Ontario area. Sorry, the Ontario area. There's going to be the Ottawa show in May.
When's the Niagara Falls one?
The Niagara Falls one is in June.
Okay.
Of course, the big Fan Expo one. And then, of course, all the big U.S. shows that we'll discuss. Yeah. And I'm sure Danny Champ, I think Danny has posted on comicbookdaily.com the list of the Brit cons.
Oh, cool.
I think he did. Right?
When are we going to take the show on the road to London, England, so we can go to one of these shows?
When Danny comes through with Hey, boys! I have a flat for you. I'll set up here. when he some sort of like rooming house that costs us like
10 cents. Sorry, 10 pence.
10 quid.
10 quid.
Is that a lot?
10 quid. Well, isn't a quid like $5 or something?
I'm not sure. I think like 1 quid.
1 quid.
All right. Yeah. So we look forward to plugging all the local Comic Cons, and please, we are going to preach ad nauseum.
Yes.
That everybody this year, hopefully it was on your resolution list.
Right.
That you should attend at least one comic book con.
As it should be. It should be. Listen, you know what, Walt? I don't know how it happens. Unfortunately, that is, we've run out of time again, and that is all the time that we have for today.
Wow. Hey, Comic Culture, produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Robach, our young buck here to my left. And for comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and scroll down to the comments field and add your comments.
I'm sorry.
And also hear us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember to go and visit one of the local comic book conventions this summer.
Yes, and also support your local comic book store.
We should do that too. Have yourself a great day.